Amen. Man, God is good, right? Yeah? Praise God. It's good seeing you guys. I like how folks went with the brown, and I wear blue. I should have worn like brown. That was like fall colors, but I like the holiday, you know, the Thanksgiving colors and themes and the colors of the fall. You know, this morning I was coming back from hanging that banner in the front, and I was just looking at the tree, and I said, man, God, you're so good. Look at how beautiful this is, you know? I see all them. Yeah. Yes, if you have trees like that, you have to blow them, you know, the blower. But man, isn't God good? Just to see, we're so blessed to, number one, to know Jesus, right? But we're so blessed to live in the Central Valley. I don't know if you know that. I mean, just yesterday we had a little event over in Orange Cove, and you could see the foothills, you could see the snow on the mountains. Just really is got a lot to be thankful for. So, welcome to Christ Community Church. We're glad you guys are here to celebrate. I want to thank Rose and the team that did a great job decorating. It's just everything. It's really nice. It's a lot of effort and time that goes into planning that, so thank you, team, for that. And then everybody that brought food, right? Praise God. I think there's a lot. We start to run out. We're going to go in the back and pray for it, and Jesus will multiply. Amen? But it smells good. Actually, I came out, and I was out there, and I was like, oh, man, people are not going to focus today. They're going to be, like, distracted. So, but we have so much to be thankful for. You heard me say this before. This is a season of Thanksgiving. And we have, as believers in Jesus Christ, I mean, who has more to be thankful than us? Just like last week, I said, man, if we don't have joy, I don't know who's going to have joy if we don't have joy. Amen? This should be, so I'm excited to see the fellowship and to hear people laughing and eating and breaking bread. To me, that's, I love doing life with you all, my church family. So excited for that. But, you know, this week is also, you guys know that it's the heaviest week of what? Travel, right? There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of congestion. So, and that doesn't always bring out the best in everyone. Some of you guys like to, you know, sit in traffic, or if you go to the airport, it's crazy. Like, it's not nice, right? So, number one, if you're traveling, be safe. But secondly, you know, I say make sure that you carve out some time as you gather with your friends and your family to really pray. You know, one of the things we kind of do is we like to give everybody an opportunity to give thanks. What are you thankful for? You know, oftentimes it's, and so it's important just to start those little traditions at your home, right? Make sure that you're praying. Make sure that you are giving everybody the opportunity to, you know, to share what God has done in their life. Amen? Because He's so good. And yeah, I know you might have that one family member that might turn into like something else, but that may be an opportunity for you to lay hands on that person and pray for them. Right? But just again, I remember why we're celebrating what we do, right? We have so much to be thankful for. And along those lines, you know, we had our, just a quick plug in our announcement. You know, we're a pretty small church, right? We're pretty flexible in what we do. And so Thursday we had a meeting, and we want to create some more opportunities for you to share your heart, right? So I'm going to do this right now. Listen, because people are like, are we going to break the script? No, right? As long as we're reading the word and we're praying and worshiping, we're good. Amen? We're not that regimented or that script, that religious, where it's like, no, we can't do that. So listen, if you have something that you want to share, if there's any praise reports in the room, right? This is an opportunity where I said, listen, I'm going to take 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you guys have a praise report you want to share, or if you just want to share thanks, right? You have something to share right now. We're going to do this. And here's the other thing too. Oftentimes when I'm up here, we're reading the word, we're praying, the Holy Spirit is moving, we're going to give you an opportunity as well. Listen, I mean, the church is not just meant for a place, it's meant for corporate worship and for learning and for teaching. But ultimately, God is moving in your heart, right? He's doing some amazing things. So at this time, maybe not now, but I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time. Maybe just do it this way. Why don't we do it at the end? All right, I'm going to carve out 5 minutes. And if you want to share a praise report, if you want to share to in front of, you know, it's like one thing, I was like, listen, Jesus died on the cross, right, publicly for you. We can't live for Him in shame and privately thank God and privately. No, we need to give Him thanks and glorify Him for what He's doing. Amen? So why don't we do that? I'm going to go through the message. I'm going to go through this through today's sermon, and it's a shorter version because we usually do that on Thanksgiving. I don't do the full 45 message. I do like a half hour. And then I'll give you some time at the end for you guys to share, right? It's important, right? I mean, you got to share God's goodness in your life. Amen? God is good, yes? And He's doing some awesome things in the church. I know it. So we're going to give you guys a little bit of a praise praise report time. How about that? Right? Does that sound good? All right. Praise God. So today we're going to be, obviously the message is tailored around giving thanks. And the sermon title is Giving Thanks in All Circumstances, right? And you guys probably, right off the bat, when you see that verse, you're like, oh, first, I know this verse. That's just 1 Thessalonians 5:18, right? It is in here, but, we're spending some time in the book of Habakkuk. And you're like, when we get to it, you're going to be like, what are we doing over there? And how do we give thanks, right? Because, listen, to live is to know that you're going to have troubles. To live is to know that you're going to have challenges. And if not, just keep living, right? You're going to know we said there's a little cliche is like, sometimes you feel like you're in the storm, you just got out of one, you're heading into one sometimes. And so regardless of our situation or circumstances, we're called to give thanks in all circumstances and for who we have in Jesus Christ. But certainly, I think as we navigate those things, because we want to thank God for who He is, right? So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, if you're there. And if not, then you can just follow along with the scriptures that are up there. Sound good? All right. So the book of Habakkuk, let's read it. And I'm going to break this down. I'm going to stop as I go because there's a lot to read. I'm not going to read all of it. Some portions of it I'm going to paraphrase for you guys here. You'll have time to go back and break it and jump into the scripture yourselves. It's not a very long book, but this is in the Old Testament. It's written about 600 BC. And so I'll give you guys some more context on after we read this a little bit. But let's read the first four verses there. It says the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. It says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." Right? And you're like, man, that's a really strange scripture to start off with Thanksgiving. It's a really strange way for us to kind of start this off. Now, I say that a little bit of the context in this passage is the prophet Habakkuk is considered a minor prophet because he didn't prophesy for that long of a period. We say, how do you determine a minor versus a major? It's just a length of time. And he was a prophet over the southern kingdom. Right? You guys remember there's a northern kingdom and then the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom is composed of the tribes of Judah. That's why it's known as Judah. And the tribe of Benjamin. Right, so he is a prophet for the southern kingdom. And what's happening here, and this is right before, the context of it is, does it sound like Habakkuk is describing something that's great in the times, right? He's describing a situation, a scenario that is what? It's pretty bleak, pretty sad, right? He's saying there's injustice is everywhere, violence is everywhere. And if you turn on your TV and you read this passage of scripture, you would say, man, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? It sounds pretty familiar when you see injustice, when you see violence, you see destruction and strife and conflict, and even the law is paralyzed. And that's a situation that Habakkuk is praying. It's kind of this particular book is interesting because it's framed as a conversation between Habakkuk and God, right? And so he's giving these complaints about what's happening in his day. And if we're honest, right, it doesn't seem like he's thankful. It doesn't seem like, it's not that he's complaining, yeah? Right? And so the title of this message, you know, fittingly is called Giving Thanks in All Circumstances. Because listen, like I said, the world that we live in, don't we see a lot of division? Don't we see a lot of animosity? Don't we see a lot of hate? I mean, turn on the news and you see some terrible things happening in the world. And so this is why I kind of was drawn to this particular book and this message today. Because the reality, if you think about the Thanksgiving itself, the holiday, Thanksgiving itself, was it brought out of a great blessing that happened to the first folks that arrived here? You guys remember that? How many of them arrived? About 101. And you guys remember, when did they arrive? Right around October and November. And they missed where they thought they were going, and they ended up where? Up north in Massachusetts. You guys remember that? It was a place called Plymouth Rock, right? You guys know that. Your kindergartners learned about this. They come home with the little pilgrim hats and looking all cute. making the little turkey with their hands. Yeah, you guys sound familiar? But about half of them died that winter. Imagine, like, you're coming, you're on the ship for a long time. You're like, yes, I'm going to be free. I can worship God. I'm going to, do you guys remember that? And then as soon as they arrive, winter, right? And all that they thought was going to happen, man, it didn't work out that way. In fact, about half of them died. That's not very, that's, and you're thinking about that, I'm going to give thanks about that. That sounds very tragic. And so at that time, right, if we're honest, I don't know if I would be, if I would have been the original pilgrim, I don't know if I would have been that thankful. But honestly, part of me would have been like, are you serious? God, like, we traveled all the way over here to worship you because we were, you know, and then now this happened to me, right? And so how do we draw the parallel, right? Habakkuk is talking about that. The origins of Thanksgiving itself, the holiday, was not in a great time. An awful thing had happened to them. And so, listen, how do you draw that to yourself today, right? Now, some of us in the room, hey, we're praising God. He's good, right? And some of us, it's not always good news, right? Sometimes it's like we're in the grind. We're stuck a little bit. And so today's message is to say, listen, we got to give God thanks in all circumstances, right? In all circumstances, even when we're going through the storm and the battle, even when you feel like your walk with God is a little dry, is a little stale, right? That's another reason for you just got to dig into who God is and give Him thanks anyway. Amen? And we're gonna continue to read on and see why we do that, right? So the first thing, right, first point in today's message is when life doesn't make sense, right? How do we give God thanks in all circumstances? When life doesn't make sense, you got to bring your questions to God. Bring your questions to God. Now, oftentimes we bring our questions to who? Who do you bring your questions to in your life? When you're going through a struggle or a storm, who do you like to normally process those with? Anybody? With your therapist? Yeah, amen. With your wife? With your spouse? Yeah. With your mom? Yeah. Maybe it's your friend sometimes, yeah. But listen, that's all great. But there's somebody that is sovereign and in control and the creator and in control over all things. And that, who is that? That's God, right? And so I'm not discounting that we do have to process and it's good for us, right? Somebody said, I'm going to talk to my therapist. That's good. That's good, right? I'm going to talk to my friends about it. But I always say, be very careful who you're seeking counsel with, because sometimes your friends will give you some terrible advice. Yeah, amen? And so we need to make sure that we seek God out first. Bring your questions to God. Pray about it. Why do I see all this injustice? Why is this happening, God? Because guess what? God is sovereign. He's not surprised. Not like He doesn't know. It's like, oh, for real, is that happened to you, brother? I had no idea that was going to happen. Right? Imagine if you're talking to God, like, have you, like, literally have a conversation with God. Do you think that God is surprised? Is He surprised? No, right? But he's the one who holds all the answers. He holds the future, the past, the present in His hands. Amen? So, wouldn't it be great if we got in the habit of talking to Him? Right? Because we don't know. We don't have all the answers. We're not God. In fact, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Who can comprehend the things of God? Except God Himself. So, number one, when life doesn't make sense, bring questions to God. In fact, we see Habakkuk doing that. He says, how long, O Lord, right? How long, O Lord, must I call for your help? And you don't listen. Man, I don't know about that. Imagine if our kids talk to us that way. How long must I call you, Dad, and you never listen to me? <That's how laughs> I'd be like, what? No, she's too old for that. I wouldn't do that. But listen, we have to be honest with God. God is not surprised. We've got to come with Him with our questions, our griefs, our complaints. He's a God that listens. He's a God that cares. Now, we're not going to read God's response, because God's response is interesting. I encourage you to read it, because God's response is awesome. I love it. He responds to saying, how long all this violence is happening here? And then God responds, I'm just going to give you the Cliff Notes version. He says, oh yeah, I hear you. I'm raising up the Babylonians. And they're going to come in and they're going to teach you a lesson. But thank you for telling me, because Israel, right, both the northern and the southern kingdom, you need to be taught, right? You need to come back to me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise up this army right here, the Babylonians, and they're going to come and they're going to wipe the floor with you. They're going to take some of you guys captives. It's going to be awesome, right? You're like, what? And then, and so you'll see, right? That's, that, to me, when you see it, when you, I always say, man, when you got to use your imagination, right? When you're reading the word, because do you think that that's the response that Habakkuk had? He wasn't expecting that response, right? He's like, whoa, next time I'm just going to shut my mouth. I better not see anything. And then God gives him the answer. He tells him, he's like, okay, yeah, I hear you. All this destruction and evil and everything that's happening, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. They're going to come in and destroy everything and take some of you guys captive. And that's not the response that he was expecting. But God is God. He's sovereign and he's good. He goes on to say, listen, because then Habakkuk encounters and says, now I'm going to, like, I'm going to be at the watchtower, right? So the second thing that we're going to, let me read this. It's in verse chapter 2, the Cliff Notes version. And I have to move fast because, you know, we got to eat food, right? Amen. He has a second complaint. He goes on. I'm just going to tell you guys the second complaint. He says, these are the issues. God responds, I raise up the Babylonians. Now he then, Habakkuk says, the Babylonians, all right, just give you the Cliff Notes versions. He's like, they're terrible. They're awful. They're even worse than the situation I'm describing. How could you use them? Right? But then he does something interesting. In verse 2, after he does his complaint, he says, but I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. What does he say? He's given two complaints already. One, it's terrible here in Israel. God says, I'm sending, don't worry, I got you. I'm sending the Babylonians. We're going to fix that. He's like, wait, no. Then he says how bad the Babylonians are. And then he says something interesting. He says, but now that I'm done complaining, I'm going to do something. What does he say he's going to do? He's going to wait. He's going to wait. Right? When you don't understand what God is doing, we have to wait faithfully for God's timing. That's the fill in the blank for number 2. When you don't understand what, wait faithfully on God's timing. Just like, you ever been in a situation or circumstance where you wish, like, you're praying and you wish that God would just give you the answer, like, right now. Like, God, let me pray for this and will you just answer today? Like, as soon as I'm done praying, the thing you're praying for is like, poof. Like, God is a genie, right? Anybody prayed like that? I have. Let's be honest, right? It's like, when we're like in distress and you're like, God, please answer this prayer for me, we wish that it would happen immediately. That's not the way that God works. In fact, Habakkuk gives us a good lesson there. He says, even though you're complaining and arguing, he says, wait faithfully for God's timing. Listen, I've been in situations in my life where I wish I could, like I said, I wish, you guys would know this, my boys in the back, you know, I've been praying for Ethan. You guys know my heart, right? I always say, one day we're going to sit down, we're going to have a big old conversation, whether it's here and in heaven, right? But the thing is, as being a dad of a son that has autism, that's the one thing that I desire the most, to be quite honest with you, just to have a conversation. Just to hear him ramble, like just to tell me whatever happened versus the yes, no, good. Yes, no, good. He's a man of little words, right? But God's going to answer that prayer, I'm telling you guys. In the meantime, I'm going to keep waiting faithfully for his timing, right? So you might have your own prayer. It might be that you're praying for a family member. You're praying for a child. You have a prodigal in your family, in your home, right? You're praying for good news. You're praying for a better diagnosis, a new prognosis. Yeah? Amen? And so we got to wait for him faithfully because God is God and he's good. And so it's not just like we wait and we just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to wait and do nothing. No, we wait and we do what? We wait and we act. We serve. We worship. We continue with a heart of gratitude. Amen? Now, it's interesting. Then God gives his response. Well, we're going to spend a lot of time in Habakkuk 3 because to me, this is like really the turning point, right? You guys are kind of seeing this, and I know I'm moving faster. Normally, I'd give you guys a little bit more examples, but I want to make sure that I finish on time and that I give you guys time for praises. Let's read Habakkuk chapter 3 now. And this is called Habakkuk's prayer. It says, the prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, which is a mount near Mount Sinai, just so you guys know. His glory covered the heavens. You guys remember this in Exodus, that scene? And his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, and there was power hidden where his power was hidden. And plagues went before him, right? Pestilence followed his footsteps. He's talking also about where the 10 plagues happened in the book of Exodus. You guys see what he's done? He's recalling history. If you don't know if you guys know this, I recognize it. He says, plagues went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and he shook the earth and he looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, the age-old hills collapsed, and he marches on forever. And I saw the tents of Cushan of distress and the dwellings of Midian in anguish, right? All of this, what he's saying, if you guys know that this is parallels to the book of Exodus. He's talking about when he gave the word. You guys remember that? On Mount Sinai, that there was thunder and flashing. You guys remember? Like Moses comes down shining with the Ten Commandments. He's also referencing the plagues that went before him or the plagues that were given to who? To Egypt. You guys remember? Because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And then as they came out, all the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt and going to the Promised Land, all the people were what? The people of Midian were terrified. Who is this people, right? That God has freed them and is going before them to set them free. So he's doing something interesting. What is he doing? He's telling them to remember. He's telling them to remember. And so, let me keep reading. Were you angry with rivers, Lord, that your wrath set against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you trod your horses and your chariots victory? You uncovered your bow and you called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers and mountains. You saw and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. What do you guys think he's describing there? He's describing when they crossed the Red Sea and when they crossed another body of water, the Jordan, right? So he's giving us a little bit of, I would say, a little bit of poetry. He's reminding us of the history of what's happening. Because listen, you might be in the storm right now. Listen, in all circumstances, I said, right? Whether good or bad, you know, whatever is happening in your life, God is worthy of our praise. Number three, and this is what we're taking away from this passage, is Thanksgiving starts with remembering what God has done. Remembering what God has done. Because oftentimes you might be the storm, and you're so fixated on the problem. Has that ever happened to you when you run into something? You're just fixated on the problem, on the issue. Whether it's a health issue, a relationship issue, a conflict, something happening at work, and we just get like caught up, like just, man, it consumes all of our thoughts and focuses on that one thing. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it happens to me too, to be honest with you. But I think what you said earlier, right? Whether you're focused, you're grumbling or complaining, instead of being thankful, you can't do both at one time. And what he's saying is like, will you just remember all that I've done? Remember who I am? Instead of focusing on the problem, right? It starts by giving thanks, by remembering what God has done. And so he tells them again, he says, in our time, make them known. Remember, right? Mercy. But let's continue on. Because he does something interesting, right? And to me, this is where it gets like really, I mean, all of this is, I always say, gets really good, but I want you guys to fast forward, right, to verse 16. Verse 16 says, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. This is the key word in this particular verse. It says, yet we'll wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. It continues on. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. And then again, yet All of you guys say yet together with me. One, two, three. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on heights. Amen. So what's the takeaway from all of that? But Habakkuk is very clear, and he's the reason why I read 16 and 17, he says, listen, he says, even though this calamity is coming, turns it around, he says, yet I will still rejoice, right? Yet I will still praise. And he goes on to paint a very sad picture. He says, even though the fig tree does not bud, and the olives crops fail, and that there's no sheep in the pen, and there's no cattle in the, you know, in the barn. He doesn't say that, but let me be exact. He says, though, there's no cattle in the stalls, not the barn. Lily wanted me to make her a barn so she could have a cow when she was a little kid. It's a true story. She wanted to be a farmer. He says, there's no fig tree. There's no olive oil. There's no sheep. There's no cattle. Think about their economy. That was everything. He says, although everything else fails, I'm still going to worship you, God. I worship you for who you are, because you are God. And it's not your situation and your circumstance or your blessing that gives you reason to worship God. You thank God for who God is what he's saying. He says, and that's number four. It says, we give thanks to God for who he is and not the blessings or circumstance. We give thanks to God for who he is, not the blessing or the circumstance. And so, what he's saying, though, is like, listen, you've got to call and remind yourself that you're called to give thanks to God, worship God when you're not comfortable, when your joy is gone, when your stability is shaken, when your basic needs are threatened, and even when your future looks pretty bleak. Why? Because God is God. That's all. That's very simple. He paints and it's interesting. It's not one of those things where it's not an emotional thing. This is the decision to be thankful for all that God has done. And why do we thank God for what he's done? We have a cross here, and sometimes it's decorated, but we always say, just a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us. If that was all that he had done, that would be enough. That would be enough. The fact that Jesus and that he came and died, I always say, a horrific death. In fact, one of the brothers sent a picture of what the image looked like of Jesus' back after he was scourged. It's horrific. It almost makes your stomach turn of what he endured because of our sin debt cost him. And so if that was all that he did, that would be enough. But listen, I said, man, we have so much to be thankful for. You heard me say this, and I don't know if I said it last week or if I said it to the man. I said, listen, if you have food in the fridge, you have a roof over your house, you have a warm bed to sleep in, you have a car, those of us in the room, we're kind of honestly, we're like top 75% of the wealthiest people in the world. That's just material stuff. So oftentimes we're unhappy, but because what? Because we're narrow focused on what we don't have. But in God, we have so much. We have it all. That's my point today. So you might be going through a struggle right now, and it's temporary. It's momentary. Why? Because the God that we serve is a God of eternity. He's not the God of this moment and that moment and when it's good to me. No, he says, through thick and thin, I'm worthy to be praised. Through thick and thin, whatever's happening in your life, listen, you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have Jesus. You have God. You have access to the Creator of the universe. There's power in his name. Amen? And he's coming back. Or we're going to go see him. You know? And I always use, oftentimes we think about the situation and the circumstances that we're in, and it's painful and it hurts, and it's, I wish this would be fat. But listen, God is working and he's moving in his own time. And I've brought up and I've used a different analogy where, like, let's say this little piece of this one 12-inch by 12-inch tile is the entirety of my life. You guys ever think about it? Right in front of you, right? Look down right now. Let's just imagine. Do you see each of you look at one tile? Make sense? That's your whole life. You see it? And in that, there's a lot of good things, bad things. There's you got, you know, hurt, you got saved. There's a lot of things that are happening in that. Now look all the way down to the other side of it, to the other wall over there. This is your life. And all that right there represents what? Eternity. Think about it. Think about it. Your pain and your sorrow and your heartache and the challenge that you have and the, you know, you're having these financial issues, your kids don't listen to you, you know, whatever's happening, it's all within this little square. Then you look over there and say, listen, your faith in Jesus Christ, you get to be with him all that way over there. And for the analogy, it ends at the wall, but this doesn't end, right? That God says that we get to spend an eternity with him through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so sometimes we don't have perspective. My dad would say, you know what your problem is? You can't see past your nose. What does that mean? I have a big nose? It's blocking my view? And he would tell me that all the time. He's like, you know what your problem is? You can't see past your nose. I can. He says, no. You need more perspective in life. You're looking at this thing like it's this one thing right here. You know, you might have an issue, a challenge, but I'm giving you an eternal perspective on things. And I'm the creator of the universe, and I'm worthy to be praised. Your situation doesn't determine, right, God's goodness. And that's what we're taking away from today's message. So even when it's not inconvenient, even when it's inconvenient for you, even when things are not great, right? We should be thanking God with our lives. That's what today's message is about. That, you know, Thanksgiving, I know we're going to celebrate and we're going to have food and you're going to meet with your family and you're going to have turkey and ham and all kinds of good stuff, right? Kinds of great pies and just all kinds, you know. You're already thinking about what stretchy pants you're going to wear. It's going to be awesome. Maybe your favorite football team is going to play. I don't know. You're going to think about all those things. But Thanksgiving is not about what is on the table for our Thanksgiving dinner. Thanksgiving is about who sits on the throne. And that's God. And he needs to have a rightful place in our hearts. Amen? So let's thank him. And like Habakkuk says in 3:18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. It's amazing, right? Yet. So in your own, if you take one thing away, right? Yeah. Put your problem in front of it and then just don't leave it there. Yet. I will rejoice. I'm having these issues at work. I'm having all this drama. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen? I have this diagnosis. I have this condition. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You fill in the blank with your problem and your drama. Amen? Yet we will rejoice in the Lord. That makes sense? But listen, I would say, like every one of us, right? I say this all the time. My family's messed up like your family's messed up. Yet we will rejoice in the Lord. Right? God is good. Because he sees, right? Habakkuk paints this awful, awful picture. And he says, listen, I don't care what's happening to me. I'm still going to thank God. And we have a lot to be thankful for in Jesus Christ. Amen? And 19 says, the Lord, the sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of deer. And it's kind of interesting how he ends that one, huh? Like, what's he talking about, a little baby deer? Find me a mountain. He says, the Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the deer. He enables me to tread on heights. Right? So listen, he's saying that, listen, that God comes and he flattens the mountains, he flattens our problems, he gets rid of my issues, and he says, no. He says, he makes me, what? Rise up above them. I'm like a little baby deer. I'm just hopping. You ever see those, like, Animal Planet? How the heck did they get up there? Right? Little Himalayan goats, they're like, hopping along on the, that's you, right? All the problems of your life. You're like a little Himalayan goat. God has got you. The Lord is sovereign. He is your strength. And he said, I'm not going to get rid of the problem. I'm going to give you the strength to overcome it. Right? I'll give you sure footing, because the Lord is our strength. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you call us to give thanks in all circumstances, Lord God. In all circumstances, Lord, you are good. It's not about where we are. It's about who you are. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 does say, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so that's us this morning, Lord God. And we can fill in the blank that despite the problems and the heartache and the drama and the diagnosis and the financial issues, yet we will rejoice in you because you are God. We find our strength in you. We find our stability in who you are. And so in all situations and circumstances, we will rejoice. We will give thanks because you are sovereign and you are good. Lord, you might be rising up even on our own lives, or there might be an archetype Babylon that's rising up, Lord God. But Lord, we're going to praise you no matter what because you are sovereign. Know our future. You're sovereign over our life. We can trust you. God that keeps promises. And so you're going to help us to have victory, Lord God. Maybe not here, but even death has been overcome by your death on the cross, Lord Jesus. But we can trust you. Because thanksgiving is about who you are. About having a heart of gratitude. Not just about the blessing that you give, but just to be thankful that we're known by you. To be thankful that we have salvation. To be thankful, Lord God, for all that you've done. For you who are. Lord God, maybe today we need to be reminded, Lord God, if we've been living a life that's full of complaints and whining, and maybe we're not happy with the situation and circumstance that we're in, Lord. We're not happy, Lord. But we need to move that complaint into confidence in who you are. That you are an awesome God and you are good. And maybe right now, Lord, we're living in a place where we are afraid, Lord God. Afraid of the diagnosis, afraid of some bad news we've gotten, Lord God. We're afraid of how we're going to help to reconcile some things, Lord God. But Lord, that's the time that we need to move from our fear, Lord God, into faith in you. That we can trust you. And Lord God, these storms come, Lord, and we're reminded time and time again, and we think about all that you've brought us out of, Lord God. It builds up our faith, and it builds up, Lord, just our worship to you, Lord God. And so if we're in a place right now where we're just full of worry and anxiety, Lord God, help us to remember and to give thanks and turn that into worship, Lord. Help us to worship you, Lord God, in all situations and all circumstances, because you are our strength, you are our strong tower, you are our Savior, you are our Lord. We thank you, Lord God, because you are amazing. Lord God, I pray that you would just be with us, Lord God. Minister to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. And Lord, thank you again for what you're doing right now, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you. We give you thanks. We adore you, Lord God. God, bless the meal that we're about to have, Lord. Continue to be with us in fellowship. And Lord, we just are thankful for what you're doing, Lord. And for some of us in here that we are in the storm, Lord God, we're going to praise you in advance for what you're going to do. Because you're good. Thank you for this morning, Lord God. Continue to move in our time of worship, in our fellowship, Lord, in our gathering, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.